that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale! Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Searching for just the right job? Whether you're looking for full-time, part-time, or seasonal work, you can get started today. Amazon Jobs offer the whole package, with great pay and flexible shifts that allow you to choose when and how much you work. Find a warehouse close to home and discover the role that works for you. To get your application started for an hourly job, go to amazon.com/apply. That's amazon.com/apply. Amazon is proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
It's just match reaction for Wolverhampton Wanderers 2, Everton 1, three losses in a row for the Toffees. A decent second half performance, wasn't enough to salvage anything after an utterly disgraceful first 45 minutes. Nick Preb and Mark Mosey joining me. Preb, I'll come to you first, mate. Thoughts on that overall? I think for me, whatever happened in that last hour was sort of overshadowed and is not enough to offset what happened in that, you know, what happened in that utterly shambolic, utterly cowardly and utterly rudderless first half an hour from Everton tonight.
Yeah, unfortunately probably not unexpected. Yeah. The result tonight and the performance. I thought, you know, Wolves are in a bit of form. It was probably the best team that Wolves could have played against tonight in Everton. I thought actually we started the game absolutely terrified of making a mistake, and that was probably a hangover from what happened the other week at Watford. And when you're in that mentality of, oh shit, I don't want to make a mistake, you inevitably do. And like, it's not just the second goal that happened with, but it was like every touch in that first half I was like, oh shit, I've got to make a 5-yard pass, got to make sure that sticks even if it goes backwards. So negative. Unfortunately, I'm not surprised by the results and the performance. One of the things that sort of flagged in my mind that first half is like, we appeared like we were a team that we were playing in the cup against a team three tiers above. We were just grateful to have a touch in their half.
Yeah.
And that's what it was like in the first half. And yeah, okay, we came out and played a bit more in the second half, barely. We deserved everything tonight we got. 2-1 probably flattered us. Could have been 3-0 in the first half. I'm obviously not happy as an Evertonian on the back of that result, but not surprised in the slightest. And I'm sure we'll get on to what's coming next shortly. But we got what we deserved tonight.
I just think the manager said this week he wanted a reaction, wanted the team to be better. Yeah. After Watford conceding 4 goals in 12 minutes there. By the end of that first half, Everton conceded 6 goals in 45 minutes of football. Yeah. The reaction wasn't there, the organisation wasn't there, and the determination wasn't there ultimately up until it came too late.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head there in terms of the most disappointing element for me is that we got all of the usual verbal rhetoric in the week about how we wanted a reaction, it wasn't good enough last week, we need to apply ourselves more, we need to change things, blah, 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 whatever it was that Rafael Benitez thought that needed to change about this Everton side. And an hour before kickoff, we got the exact answers, which unfortunately every Evertonian has known about this side in recent history, is that nothing really ever changes. I think it was obvious for me tonight. I appreciate this is easy to say in hindsight on the back of another defeat, but we absolutely needed to be more solid in the middle of the park. We needed to probably play a flatter midfield three. If someone like Jean-Philippe Gabamin was going to come back into that side, which obviously he did, it needed to be in a far more astute and far more intelligent setup. And if you were going to bring him into the middle of a midfield two alongside Alan, who I think we've all realised now absolutely needs Abdoulaye Doucouré next to him to have any form of function at all, It just needed a far more pragmatic and more sensible approach tonight. And I think, as you'll have heard, the barman is as furious as I am. But I think it's the disappointment for me. I think the two things I'll take away from tonight are, I've had numerous conversations throughout the week and throughout the day today leading up to this game about whether Everton, in the current form that they are in, could potentially get dragged into a very much more precarious situation than they are currently in at the moment in terms of a relegation fight. The fact that, as Prebber said, in terms of getting away from that game with a 2-1 defeat, that's a walking advertisement tonight about why Everton will not get relegated. And it's a shame on this league that we've been able to get away with a 2-1 defeat, because for 70 minutes of that game we were absolutely dire. And we're looking back at this now at a second half whereby we all feel on a 3 out of 10 scale mildly positive about the fact that we were able to show something in the second half of the game. It was nothing, it was crap. We managed to get one goal back, I'll grant you that, but there was no prolonged spells of pressure. There was no real intent. If you're going to talk about real intent about getting back into a Premier League game and potentially going on to win it, there was nothing of that from Everton tonight. And I think it just makes you realise that this spell under Rafael Benitez that we are all embarking on, for want of a better word, I feel like I've watched that game against Wolves countless times over the last few years, but this whole tenure that Benitez is going to bring us in the next God knows however many games leading up to the derby, which he obviously gets sacked after, it's just an enormous waste of time, isn't it? Where I feel like we've had the apocalyptically bad defeat.
Sounds like the apocalypse is going on in this
news. It absolutely is. But we've had the horrendous home defeats to teams like Watford. We've had this kind of half-arsed bounce back game against Wolves numerous times, and it feels like we're just going through all of the same motions that we've been through with Martinez, with Silva, with Koeman, and I don't really sense any form of Everton on the change scenario here. And all of the same things that we've said about individuals, all the same things that we've said about the team as a collective in recent seasons, we're still sat here saying them. And I don't really know what changes about it. I'm sat here looking at a Dominic Calvert-Lewin on Sky Sports, who I feel absolutely sorry for tonight, because how he is meant to comment on a group of lads who are clearly missing him God knows how much is unbelievable.
Probably hates most of them.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And no one could blame him after watching that 90 minutes, but I think if you're taking any form of positive out of that game tonight, I think you are genuinely clutching at straws. And the only thing more terrifying about the last 90 minutes of my life are the fact that we've got to watch that about 7 or 8 more times before Christmas against teams that are absolute team for team over the next few weekends better than that Wolves team that we've just faced.
Yeah, it is grim. And I think, both of you mentioned the manager there. We're not going to get into Benitez out and all that sort of stuff. It's far too early for all that sort of thing. But I think even with the injuries, the thing you expect from a Benitez team is to set them up and say, we're going to be horrible to play against and we're going to be hard to beat today. And from minute 10, Wolves, the goal that they scored, which is disallowed, they literally pick the ball up and just drive straight through the middle of Everton. And the organisation and the aggression, and you'd expect that from a Benitez team, and especially a team that's had, 9 days to work on it since the Watford game. It just wasn't there, was it?
Yeah, it's like, have you ever had a manager you were missold? I think like you just said, they had a goal disallowed, could have been done and dusted in that first half. It's really difficult to find any positive at all from that match. And I think through the second half when we were watching it, we were celebrating like there's no tomorrow when we scored. And that's a sign of the sort of times that we're in as Blues. Like we're grateful for anything.
Yeah. Corners, throw-ins.
Exactly. And like I hate to go back to Gabarman, but I felt actually very sorry for him out there today. You know, the way we sat out with him supporting Alan in the field, he was whatever the opposite of hitting the ground running. Yeah. That was him today. I felt sorry that he was put in that position. He was never ever going to be the stronghold in the field today. I remember seeing Tom Davis on the bench, surprised he didn't get on. It makes me worried going forward for the next few games, exactly what team we're going to put out. And like when you ask the question about Benitez, does he know what his strongest team is?
Does he want to play free in midfield? Does he, by the looks of it?
I genuinely don't know what he's thinking. I felt like he had a lot of chances to change the structure, the way we were playing. Even if it was embarrassing someone halfway through the first half today and taking someone off, he just didn't make that decision. You know, we talked about previously at the Watford game. You know, it's not necessarily on the manager that players capitulate in 15 minutes and concede three or four goals. But actually, as we're moving on today against Wolves, that is on him. You've got to set the team up as you see fit. And I'm really, really struggling with Benitez at the moment.
I think you'll probably find occasional Everton fans who will compliment the fact that Rafael Benitez changed that after 45 minutes. For me,
obvious after five, wasn't it? I'm gonna
say 20 minutes, but as you say, Matt, far earlier in that game, it was so evident that there was an enormous chasm between our back four and our midfield two. And I think as so many of us have said, not only in the build-up to this game, but already in the aftermath of it, there's so much about that midfield that means that no two midfielders on our box other than Abdoulaye Doucouré can play inside there. If Tom Davis plays in that midfield, he needs Alan and someone else alongside him. Alan, in terms of how much legs he's got, he absolutely needs Abdoulaye Doucouré, and if not, he needs another two alongside him. And as Prebers has mentioned, if you're going to bring Jean-Philippe Gabamon back into this squad and back into this league, and everyone knows all the tribulations that he's been through in the last couple of years, he absolutely needs to play either in a settled midfield, which we're Everton, that's not going to happen, or he needs to play alongside Alan and someone else.
He was hung out to dry, wasn't he, really?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Don't get me wrong, he was dreadful. He had a really poor game. But he looked like a lad that's not played for 2 years. But if you're starting a lad that's played for... that's not played for 2 years, you should make allowances for that in the way you set the team up and say, I need to give him as much protection. And Alan, a midfielder who can't actually run, is not sufficient protection for a lad that's not played that long. And you've got someone like Iwobi, I know you scored tonight, he shouldn't play. Put Delf in there, put Davis in there, go three in the middle and say, we're going to block that space off, we're going to launch it long to Richarlison, it's going to be horrible, but we're not going to get cut through.
Yeah.
And that lad who has not played a game again or started a football game for 2 years in this league is going to have sufficient protection. And instead, he was hung out to dry because he was poor himself, but he was next to a fellow in Alan who can't run or can't cover the ground needed now to play in the midfield two anymore.
And yes, you make allowances for that that individual in particular, regardless of the form or the setup that he's coming into in this side. You make allowances because of all those things you've said and with him being out of the side for so long. But this is a team who looks at its absolute worst on the back of a 5-2 home defeat at Watford. Regardless of whether Jean-Philippe Gabamon's coming back into that side, you make allowances for that result. You put a solid three in midfield. As you say, you start a Tom Davis or you start a Fabian Delph. As much as we don't want to see those players, all of this talk that we've seen in the week about Tyler Onyango being considered because he's that big boisterous midfielder that we've been missing on the back of Abdoulaye Doucouré being out.
It
is, and we are absolutely clutching at straws for a solution to the eternal problem that is Everton, and that is essentially all this is going to be until we decide that all of these faux hard men that we've got in this squad, like Fabian Delph, Michael Keane, Mason Holgate, all these people who want to be that hard man that a Premier League side absolutely needs and Everton are desperately lacking. The sense of leadership, and I hate to go back to this and about club captains and all this debate that we've had about Everton in recent years and the countless reasons why this side have never done anything progressive or won a trophy. It's totally there in terms of you look at a game like that tonight where even, do you know what, if we totally take away that first hour, which was obviously appalling, in that last half hour where you do get a goal back and there is that little bit of incentive to go and win the game back, and who's going to be the side that takes the initiative? It never really looked like Everton had that impetus to go on and win the game, and unfortunately we're looking at a lad in Anthony Gordon who has again been overlooked from the start tonight and will no doubt be overlooked next week because he hasn't got 90 minutes in his legs or whatever bullshit excuse we're using for him this week, but it just needs that spark and that change, and I'm just not convinced that, unfortunately, Everton have got the personnel to make all of these changes that we're talking about to try and affect some form of positive change. And all I can ever really focus on at the moment is that horrible run of, what, 6 or 7 games leading up to Christmas. And I'm hoping that Everton, as we've seen in years gone by, can be a little bit more solid, a little bit more compact, scrounge a draw against Tottenham and maybe get a result at Chelsea, or do you know what, you're clutching at straws to try and really think about where our points are going to come from before Christmas. But already in what, just coming on to November, we're looking at another season whereby we're thinking, well, what is this? Is this just purely tread and water until what, Benitez gets sacked halfway through next season and we try and regenerate this thing and we bring a young continental manager in and start it all over again? And it's really hard to invest in something that feels like it's just on a hamster wheel of sports at the moment.
Yeah, and I sort of don't want to revisit the goals tonight, but I feel like we sort of have to in post-match. The first goal from a set piece. Yes, another. Yeah. I think a stat popped up on Sky just before we conceded that corner that said we're something like 17th or 18th in the Premier League from conceded from set pieces.
I mean,
must be rock bottom now. Surely.
God help the teams are below us in that
match.
Jesus Christ.
I think probably the half time analysis picked that up fairly well, but not remotely surprising. Against Watford, we were cacking ourselves every time they got a set piece, and it manifested tonight exactly the same way. That sort of terrifying spot from an Everton defensive point of view, just outside the 6-yard box, cannot seem to cope. I think some of the pundits said, you know, Pickford should have done better while bouncing in front of
That's
you.
Really,
I mean,
harsh, that,
yeah. What are you supposed to do? So it's,
I think
it's
Dominic Calvert-Lewin was that pundit.
I sort of think, well, it's all on the defenders for that goal. I'm not surprised we conceded that.
Thank Godfrey as well.
I'm in a position where I don't want to dislike him. I want to keep giving the benefit of the doubt every week. What I really, really miss about getting from Ben Godfrey.
Ben Godfrey. It's been that type of night.
I'd rather
he's playing like Ben Godfrey at the moment. It's not my Ben Godfrey.
I'd rather have Ken on my books. I miss the marauding defender that we first signed. Miss him as well. I missed the marauding centre forward. I missed the dominant centre forward. Don't know where he was for that first goal. He picked out a few defenders. He should have been there. But ultimately, you know, that first goal is exactly how I thought we would concede against Watford today, and it came true. Second goal, it's like I said at the very start, players were terrified of making a mistake, and that's what happens. He had his head in his hands, but that's not good enough. I mean, that was defending 101. I just felt like when he received that ball before the assist, he had no confidence going forward. That just embodied the whole team in that first half. terrified of making a forward pass in case it led to a break. And ultimately playing a backward pass is exactly what happened.
Do you know what else it is as well? It is the product of not having another left back at the club, because a left footed player or a left back in this situation opens the body up and they knock it down the line or into the corner, and it might go out for a throw in, it might go down for a goal kick, someone might get onto it. But if you've got someone with balance on that side who can just kick the ball down instead of having to turn back inside and look for a pass, and none of our midfielders are brave enough to show for the ball, he's got to go back to the keeper. It's a dreadful pass, don't get me wrong. It's really poor and he should do better. But if you've got a left-footed left-back in that situation who can actually kick the ball up the line, then that doesn't happen ultimately.
One of the most disappointing elements about the goals we conceded for me tonight was the one that got disallowed before the first goal even went in. And I think the opportunity was there. And, you know, I get it, even that original now disallowed goal was a shit show, but that was your opportunity, wasn't it, to collectively regroup. And I think all the visuals we saw on the Sky Sports camera tonight were Michael Keane, Alan, a few of the more senior players getting together and saying, well, do you know what, this can't happen again. This is what went wrong there. And certainly visually for me, I thought, well, that's a positive, what's just gone on there. Fair enough, we've got away with it, and that is something to build on. And I think the fact that we conceded, what, 5 or 6 minutes after that was everything you need to know about a brittle backbone of an Everton side, which, as I say, going back to earlier in the pod, I feel like we've seen countless times now. There's just there's a cloud of chaos that hangs over this defence every time that there's something merely wrong about the side or about the performance. And we've said countless times that opposition sides are able to capitalise on weaknesses in Everton that Everton are absolutely nowhere near capitalising on. It feels like we need an absolute disaster from the opposition side to be able to get a goal. And do you know what?
Almost did.
We nearly got that tonight, yeah. But it feels like the smallest frailty in an Everton side means that you concede one or two goals in a half. And we saw that against Watford, we saw it again tonight. And I think the chaos very much follows into the second half, whereby we're 10 minutes out from possibly getting a result against a side who we absolutely do not deserve anything against. And we're looking to bring a right back on who's clearly not good enough to play right back, never mind go and get a last
what was
minute
that about,
goal.
By the way, he just put his game. I said to you, has he gone full Amakachi? And I said, I'm coming on, I don't care what's happening. I'm a scouser, I'm John Joe Kenny, I've had enough of this, I am getting on this pitch.
I can only assume that John Joe Kenny was just simply too warm, and that is the reason why the coat came off, because if ever there was a reason for Solomon Rondon coming onto a football pitch, it's when you're playing against a relatively poor side who somehow managed to get one goal up against you and you need to clutch that back. But do you know what, to bring individual players and to try and analyse that tonight is just, you really are stretching to figure out what is going on with this football club. But as we've said countless times, not only tonight but in recent seasons, the problems that this team has tonight have been the problems that this team has had for the last 5 or 10 years. And do I honestly look at Rafael Benitez now as being someone who solves that? No. And in that sense, I feel like this club is ultimately just treading water until the next epiphany, the next Mashiri, the next Roberto Martinez, where we have this eternal breakthrough season. But right now, I don't really see how Everton's rut ends.
Yeah, and I think, you know, moving on from this, I'm not sure you'll find many Evertonians that are actively looking forward to next week.
Oh, God, no.
Not that we often look forward to matches, but particularly for next week, Spurs have a new manager. We've just come in from the doldrums of another non-emphatic match. It's tough going at the moment. There's absolutely no doubt about it.
Yeah, our best player in the second half will probably be injured again in training this week, Fabian Delph. But just one thing I want to say about the set pieces. And he said this in the week, the manager, it annoyed me a little bit, because he said about how he was at Liverpool and how when they tried to instill the zonal mark, and it didn't work initially, and then after two or three seasons, they were the best in the league. At that point, he had Jamie Carragher, he had Sammy Hupia, Yeah, Daniel Agger, all really, really good Premier League defenders. Whatever you say about the Reds or not, they were all really good professionals, good defenders. And you can teach those players to defend properly in a zonal setup because they're all really good players. Our defenders are not good. Without Yerry Mina in that setup, certainly, they are not good enough to be able to play a system that's as complex as that. And at the moment, we are in a position where we need to make it as straightforward as possible for these lads. Yeah. And if that means throwing out whatever you're doing at the moment to say, Michael Keane, you mark this lad. This lad with that number on his back, he is your player to mark for the entire game. And if he comes off and this player comes on, you take that player. And it's the same for you, Mason. And it's the same for you, Ben Godfrey. I mean, I'm not one of these people who says zonal marking should be completely binned out the game forever. There's clearly a place for it if you've got good enough players. But our centre-backs are not good enough. Not good enough to be able to play that way. And for the time being, it should be shelved until we get Mina back, until we get a bit of confidence back in the side, and we should move on from it from then.
I remember Jamie Carragher literally the other week saying that he didn't enjoy his football under Benitez, but played his best football under Benitez.
He's a really good player.
I'd be delighted if our defenders were that attitude and that's what prevailed. But I just literally not seeing that at the moment.
But Carragher was, say what you want about him, he was an intelligent footballer and a good defender who could obviously take on these instructions. Our players can't do that. This might sound really harsh, but based on what we've seen so far this season, what against Watford, what we saw tonight in that first half, and what we've seen the entire campaign with these set pieces going in, week after week after week, they need to make it as basic as possible for them.
What you've then got there is a really dangerous balance of a set of players who are incapable of learning and a manager who is famously incapable of relenting in terms of his setup and his ideology. How often did we say in the summer when we were approaching Rafael Benitez and all of this rhetoric about how hated he was going to be from Everton fans, from Liverpool fans, from God knows who, the man is stubborn. There is absolutely no way that on the back of, what, 3 negative results, he says, well, you know, everything I know about football management goes out the window. And you know what, time will tell whether he's right or whether we are right, but I think that the frustration from an Everton fan point of view and everything that you've just mentioned there, Matt, is that we've done all of this before. And we've said this about individual players and, you know, managers taking, what, 6 to 18 months to find out about a Tom Davis or a Michael Keane or whoever it may be. And it feels like we know all of the answers to this. And at the point where Wolves get a corner, the only surprise for me tonight is that at the point where Alex Iwobi volleys one out for a corner in the second half, that Wolves didn't score from that corner, because that's exactly the point where Everton fans just thought, I'm getting on 3-1 here because I absolutely know what happens. And It's going to be a real test for Rafael Benitez to try and figure out what happens with the side. And it's equal to the test that Carlo Ancelotti had. And the irony for these managers who are, in inverted commas, world class, is that when you are faced with having a set of players who are in themselves not world class, you are asked questions that a Real Madrid or a Napoli or an AC Milan or whoever it is you've mentioned would never have asked you before. And I think it's going to be beyond interesting to find out what Rafael Benitez does with this side. And I'm at this stage, I'm not even looking at January as being this shining light of a month whereby we can go out and sign players to buy into what Rafael Benitez is doing at the moment, because at the moment I don't really see it. And I'm trying to back that up at the moment with the fact that our best defender, our best midfielder, our best striker, etc, they're all out, and it's all going to be very different when they come back. And I am pinning all of my Everton hopes on that at the moment, but on the back of yet another defeat, it's very hard to see the light.
Maybe Dom's just going to become a full-time pundit for Sky. Apparently he's done really well tonight.
Would you blame him? Would you want to see that?
I'm just sort of really funny then when you're making your point there, Moz. I've just seen Preb's got the fixtures on his phone for the next 6 weeks. He's just scrolling down and shaking his head with a sense of foreboding. Looking forward to them, mate.
I think if we all just agree to take like a hiatus for 7 or so weeks remaining in the calendar year,
just for life,
I think we'd be fine. But on a remotely serious note, it's an unforgiving next few weeks. It's a brutal festive period. With our lack of depth and lack of quality. I mean, I don't want to be too much of a dreary weary, but Jesus Christ, by New Year's time, we could be in trouble.
Yeah.
And it's not worth thinking about.
Yeah, Everton need divine intervention over the festive period for sure. We will leave it there tonight. Dominic Calvert-Lewin's on Sky now, watching loads of replays of his goals, so that could be a nice end to the night at least. But that's it from us here on the Blue Room. 3 defeats in a row for the Toffees. We are where we are. Hopefully things turn around this weekend against Tottenham. Of course, we'll be covering all the reactions to that game tonight throughout the week and building up to that game against Tottenham Hotspur, and potentially a Tottenham Hotspur managed by Antonio Conte as well. Cheers to Mo, cheers to Preb. Enjoy what you can of the rest of your Monday night and the week, and we'll speak to you again very soon here on the Blue Room.
When you need milk for Zoe and a cold brew for yourself, King Soopers delivery will get you just what you need in as little as 30 minutes. Open the King Soopers app and start your cart, whatever the cart. King Soopers, fresh for everyone. Delivery times not guaranteed. Restrictions may apply. See site for details.
When you're a Boost member, you get free delivery, double fuel points, and lots more. Sign up at kingsoopers.com/boost.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.